Welcome to Shining Bright, the Farm Her radio show all about women doing great things. Women who are making the ordinary extraordinary. Women following their passion, taking action, and making a difference for themselves and others. Join me, Margie, as your host on Shining Bright by Farm Her. Welcome to Shining Bright. So we have a snowy day here in Iowa, but I am joined on the phone with Carly from our Farm Herd. Carly, welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
Yeah. I love technology, right? We can
I know we can do everything and it can still be snowing outside.
Yeah. And snowing and snowing and snowing.
Because and snowing some more.
Yeah, I know. Right. Well, so we've got a really cool episode lined up today. We're going to be talking to a couple women who have been in our network and in our realm in Farm Her, Tara Smith of Michael Torrey Associates and Dana Brooks, who's the president of the Pet Food Institute. And these women have been engaged with us at some of our events in the past, and they are just some of the the smartest, funnest, hardest working people, these women in DC. I don't know what it is about them, but we had that event in Pennsylvania, a grow event a few years ago, and they all made the trip up and it was just awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was awesome. And I mean, that's where we first met them, but then they've continued their journey with us. They were at the I Am From Her event last June, and then they're going to join us again for a grow event we're having out there in DC in March.
Yeah. So on that note, as I tell you guys all the time here on Shining Bright, we have a bunch of grow events going on this year. We have 8 of them around the country. We are one down and we've got another one coming up right around the corner in DC. And the tickets are sold out on that. So I'm going to save you a little bit of time. You don't even need to go looking for a ticket. But Carly, could you talk to me a little bit about how that event is different and kind of what we hope these young women to get out of it?
Sure. So this one is all about connections there in DC. A lot of it has a policy focus, but still a focus on being the face of Farm Her, which is our theme for this year. So the ladies will get to hear from people like Dana Brooks, like Tara. I think they're both going to be there. And then we have other speakers like Shelby Watson Hampton. I know some of the viewers might recognize her name. She was on our TV show, and she is a really successful entrepreneur. We'll get to share her story with those young ladies. And then she will actually get to serve on a panel for AgriPulse that afternoon that all of our young ladies will get to go and be a part of their summit. And it was supposed to be on Ag Day. Ag Day got moved, but it's kind of an extension of National Ag Day this year. So it's a great opportunity, one that we haven't ever done before and not a typical grow event, but something that we're really looking forward to for those young ladies in that area and for those that have registered. I don't even know if they're all from that same area, but I know that they all have an interest in policy. So it should be a really neat event to help them connect and build their network.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this one. I mean, we talk about this over and over. I mean, I guess, you know, you and I and other team members of ours get the pleasure of going to all these grow events. So it sounds kind of like a broken record, but this talk about the power of connecting with each other, the need to network as a young woman, no matter what you want to do or where you want to go, it just opens up so many doors. And this the AgriPulse thing is a whole new thing for us.
Yeah, it is. And I have never been a part of it, so I don't know a whole lot about it, but it's their summit that they're putting on that day. And we are going to get to be a part of their young farmers panel, which they've invited Shelby to sit on, but they've also invited all 100 young ladies that we'll have at our event to sit in on that panel and hear from those young farmers as well as be a part of their reception that afternoon. And I've heard lots of great things about that reception. And I think the who's who in DC will be there. So it'll be a great experience for those young ladies to be immersed in the policy world out in DC.
Yeah. And, you know, if any of them have any interest, another thing I'm super excited about, I mean, Dana, I know she's going to talk about it later, and Tara probably too, is this Waggies group. There are these women in Washington, D.C. stick together and help each other out. And it's so cool. And I think it's pretty visible, you know, what it's done or helped people connect through to build careers for these women.
Yeah, I think what they're doing is so neat out there. And I know we have kind of a mini farm herd here in Iowa, but any of those groups that you can connect with those young, any lady in ag that have the same interests as you is super important. So I think they'll get a little dose of that too while they're at the event.
Yes. So on that note, as I said, our grow event there in DC is sold out. So unfortunately, we won't, unless you already have a ticket, we won't be able to see you there, but you can join us. We will be at some other states around the country. We will be in Manhattan, Kansas, April 2nd, Stillwater, Oklahoma, April 4th, and Columbia, Missouri, April 5th. These are open to any young women who are involved or interested in agriculture, and registration is completely free. You can find out more at farmherd.com. Click on the events tab and you can see those different events. So we look forward to seeing you soon. Welcome to Shining Bright. This is Margie here with you today. The farm herd is actually all at home. This is just the farm herd here today because we have snow yet again. Welcome to Iowa weather in the winter. So, but great to be here with you. And on the phone from another snowy location, I'm talking with Tara Smith, who's the Vice President of Federal Affairs for Michael Torrey Associates. Tara, welcome.
Thank you so much. Good to be with you today.
Yes, yes. It's as we were talking before we got on, it's good to be tucked away out of the weather, right?
It absolutely is. It doesn't take much here to shut things down in DC. Certainly takes a lot less than I remember as a kid growing up in Illinois.
Yeah. The ability to move snow increases when you get into these like Midwestern states. We have like one snowplow per every like three people, I think, or something. I made that up. I don't know, but it seems like it.
Plus one on every farm, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be able to move your own. Actually, one of my team members who's not here, Carly, she lives like in the country, right? And she grew up on a farm. She lives on a farm still, and just south of Des Moines. And she had a post in her social media story. She got stuck at the end of her road, and no one plows those roads. So, you know, you got to do it yourself. So I don't know how she got out, but she said there's no chance she's leaving today either. So just par for the course. Her dad probably came and pulled her out with a tractor. I don't know.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So Tara, let's talk a little bit. You mentioned growing up in Illinois. Can you tell me first about your connection to agriculture?
Sure. I grew up on a corn and soybean farm in central Illinois, just east of Bloomington, Illinois. For those of you who know Illinois, we are halfway between Chicago Cubs country and St. Louis Cardinals country. So we have a divided family on that front.
Go Cubs.
But I... oh, no.
Uh-oh, you're on the other side.
I'm on the Cardinals side, but I know I have a brother who will very much appreciate that comment. So believe me, I'm used to it. But yeah, pretty standard corn and bean operation, you know, blessed with the deep black soil that we're known for in Illinois.
Yeah. And so were you involved in like FFA or 4-H at all growing up?
I did 4-H. I did not do FFA. I actually went away to school in the suburbs of Chicago for a math and science school, and they didn't have FFA, believe it or not. And so I didn't have the benefit of FFA growing up, but I did do 4-H and loved every minute of it.
Yeah, I did too. I'm the same as you. I did 4-H, not FFA, and loved it as well. My kids are in it now. So you grew up around agriculture. So tell me about your path to Washington, D.C. And, you know, the career that you've had there.
Yeah, it was a little different, I think, than some farm kids. I didn't go through a land-grant university, and I didn't have I don't have a degree in agriculture. I actually was recruited to play volleyball at Davidson College in North Carolina, which is this itty-bitty liberal arts college. Those of you who enjoy watching Steph Curry play basketball, he is an alumni of Davidson College. Yeah. I was a political science major there. So I sort of got the bug for politics came to DC for a summer to do a summer program at Georgetown. It was in the middle of the 1995, which ultimately became the 1996 Farm Bill, the Freedom to Farm Act. And I did an internship in agriculture, and that was it. I was hooked. I fell in love. And as soon as I graduated from Davidson, I headed right back to DC.
That's awesome. I love it. I love it when someone, like, you know, you find, you're like, this is where I'm supposed to be. What was it about DC that, and agriculture specifically in DC, if you could pinpoint, like how that made you feel?
Well, I have to tell you, I wasn't sure ever that I was ready or had the skill set, if you will, to go back and actually work on the farm. So as soon as I realized that I could make a difference in agriculture and not be on the farm, it was really exciting to me, and grabbed the bull by the horns. And I've left DC once for 2 years to do graduate school, and that's it. I'm on 20 years now in Washington.
You are officially there now. That is your home, right? That's awesome.
Yeah, pretty much. My mom has given up on me moving back home, I'm afraid.
Well, if I had anything to offer you, it's really cold and windy and snowy here. So, you know. Let's talk a little bit about what your career path has looked like. So you had that initial internship there. And then where did you go once you graduated from college and started weaving that journey?
Sure. So I started out working for an ag consulting firm here in Washington, D.C. Back then it was called Promar. It's been bought several times since then and has a different name now. And I decided I really needed to get to know more of the business side of things. So I went and did my MBA at University of Michigan. And I kind of thought if there was ever an opportunity for me to leave D.C. and work in agriculture, in a different capacity outside of Washington, that would really be the breaking point. And as it turned out, I ended up right back in Washington, D.C., working for Monsanto's government affairs team. I worked a few years there, learned an amazing amount about the new technologies that are being provided in agriculture before I moved over to American Farm Bureau. And worked for American Farm Bureau on their farm policy team for another few years. Then I had really the honor of working for Chairman Pat Roberts on the Senate Ag Committee when he was ranking member during the 2011, 12, 13, and what ultimately became the 14 Farm Bill. And after that is when I went to go work for Michael Torrey Associates, and I've been with Michael Torrey for 5+ years now.
Wow. I love hearing these things. And I think that it's so helpful for other people to hear that, you know, like it doesn't look just one way. You don't just start here and have this plan. Like it weaves and it changes, and that's the way it is for all of us. So I would love to talk just a little bit more about working with Senator Pat Roberts on the Ag Committee. What would you say? You said you had, you know, that was a really big thing. And he is such a large, leaves such a large impression on agriculture from what he has done. What would you say that was the biggest thing that you took away from working with him?
Well, I think he just has a passion for agriculture. You know, he didn't grow up on a farm, but he's from Kansas. He loves agriculture. He loves farmers. He's one of the most genuine, caring people that I know. And just, you think about the mark he left on agriculture, both between the Freedom to Farm Act, which he was chairman of House Ag Committee when that bill passed, and it was really revolutionary in terms of farm policy. And then you think of the work he did on crop insurance and passing the Ag-Risk Protection Act in 2000. He is essentially the grandfather of crop insurance. And that's where I worked for him. I worked for him doing crop insurance, Title I, and disaster programs. And so I learned so much from him. He knows more in his pinky about crop insurance than I will probably ever know in my lifetime.
Which is, having spent 11 years in that industry, that is saying a lot, because it is a very in-depth program for sure. Well, Tara, thank you so much. We will be back here with Tara here in just a few minutes. We're going to head to break. But first, I want to tell you, we are kicking off a year of 8 GROW events around the country in 2019, and they are free for all attendees. We're going to be visiting Washington, D.C., but that event is sold out. And we will be in Manhattan, Kansas on April 2nd, Stillwater, Oklahoma on April 4th, and Columbia, Missouri on April 5th. Visit us at farmher.com and check out the events tab to find out more. Welcome back to Shining Bright. We have been talking to Tara Smith. And Tara has spent her career she has built her career and spent, really, like she said earlier, the better part of 20 years in Washington, D.C., in many different roles with many organizations that I know we have all heard of or are familiar with. And so, Tara, in this segment, I want to talk a little bit about your career path, as in, you know, you've worked for many organizations and had a lot of influential roles. Is this, when you first came to DC and started down this path, is this what you saw for yourself? Or can you talk a little bit about kind of that journey that happens, you know, how we weave in and out of these things?
You know, I have to say I've been really blessed, because I think when I first came to Washington, D.C., I didn't even know what was possible in the ag policy world. I had been here for a couple of months as an intern. That was really my exposure. It wasn't until I really had spent some time in Washington that I realized the opportunities that there are here in Washington to have an impact on what goes on the farm and on the ground. So I got kind of lucky in that I was around a lot of people who were making a real difference in agriculture and saw the possibilities early on.
Yeah, and it makes such a difference to be around those people. I know it has made worlds of difference in my career. So talking about networks of support, I mean, that's something that we talk about a lot with FarmHer. You know, as you know, you've engaged with us in our events in the past, whether it be I Am FarmHer or GROW. And we really firmly believe that connecting people over something that they're passionate about, such as agriculture, but the fact that we're all women and we're connected to that, there's power in that. So can you talk to me a little bit about what your networks look like in the DC area and what that's brought to you in your career?
Yeah, we are fortunate to have a really fierce and passionate group of women in agriculture here in Washington, D.C. Some of it is organized, some of it is less organized. But, you know, we have Women in Ag, or WAGGIES, events here in Washington, D.C., where we do happy hours, maybe do some charitable work along with those happy hours. We have lots of opportunities to work together as women in Washington, D.C. And so that's always been very helpful in terms of just networking, building your contacts, learning from others. I've been very blessed, too, because I've had some amazing women mentors in agriculture here in D.C. I worked for Mary Kay Thatcher, who was formerly with Farm Bureau and is now with Syngenta. And I think you've interviewed her before on this show. Yep. Just in terms of a mentor in D.C., I could not have asked for better. And so that really kind of changes the trajectory of your career when you work for someone who's that passionate and engaged.
It so does. So I always think this is like, I don't know. It's interesting. Maybe it's only interesting to me, but when I started in the crop insurance industry, I was 21 and I worked for a company called Rain and Hail. And, you know, I had big dreams and wanted to kind of climb that ladder. And over the course of 11 years, I had 5 different roles there. And my last role was the administration and risk manager, which meant that I worked on the standard reinsurance agreement as far as how it applied to our company and dealt with the risk that, crop insurance companies take on with the policies that they write. And so, you know, especially when I was a young woman, like, you know, in my early 20s and kind of climbing through that career, Mary Kay Thatcher was like the only woman that I can say was super visible to me in the crop insurance industry at that time. And I just remember always being like, there is this woman out there and she's making, you know, waves in this industry. And so I was so excited to have her on our TV show. And she is, it's a really cool thing. So I think that that just speaks, she was never a mentor of mine, but if you can see it, you can go do it, right? And having her as a mentor, I'm sure, just opened up so many doors.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's easy in DC to sort of to lose your way or to not stand firm on a position or to, you know, shy away from taking really tough positions. And one of the great things about working for Mary Kay is that she showed you how to take those tough positions and stand by them and defend them and work through them and do it in a smart way where at the end of the day, people respect you for it and respect you a lot.
I love that. I love that. And I think that that is probably a really key thing. So everyone hit the rewind button and listen to that again, because it is important, you know, to stand your ground about those issues, but to find a way to do it where people do respect you at the end of the day, because that can be a tough thing.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you've got this network of women, you've got mentors around you. What's next for Tara? Like what do you see upcoming in the next year, 2 years for yourself? You know, in agriculture or maybe personally?
Well, you know, I'm blessed with the job I have now. I'm really excited to be with Michael Torrey Associates. So plan to continue to build my career here. We are really fortunate at Michael Torrey Associates that we actually have a team full of women working there. So there are 7 of us, 6 of us are women. It's kind of fantastic. And so we have a great team that we're building. We're bringing on new clients, which means an opportunity for all of us that we get to learn more and, you know, sort of find new challenges. Yeah. So obviously with the work we do now, we've got Farm Bill implementation to work on. We've got really critical issues like trade to continue to work on this year. So there is no lack of work in the agriculture arena.
No.
In the coming year, as anyone on the ground in farm country could tell you.
Yeah, I love that. Well, Tara, in closing this up, if there's a young woman out there listening who's thinking, you know, I want to go to DC. I want to go find my career there. What would you tell her?
Well, first of all, look me up. I'm always happy to go sit down and have coffee or lunch with folks who are looking to build a career here in Washington, D.C. I'm always happy to do that. Folks did that for me, and I sort of want to give it back. But also, you know, don't be afraid to come out here and spend a little time, get to know the city, and get to know your options. There is a lot you can do here in D.C. to really make a difference.
Awesome. Tara, thank you so much. And for any of you who are listening, if you want to get connected with Tara, as she said, you can just email us info@farmher.com and we will be sure to connect you through to her. Tara, do you do social media at all? Do you have an open social media account so people can look you up?
No.
That's okay.
I'm one of those old school folks. They don't let me near Facebook or Twitter in my office.
It's hard. It's hard to put yourself out there and have all those.
I can barely keep up with my email. So yeah, that would be a disaster for me, but I do check my email. So absolutely be in touch. And you can certainly, go through you, Margie, or go through the firm. And like I said, I'm always happy to chat with folks.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Tara.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Of course. So we're going to be back here in just a few minutes, everybody. So I want you to stick with us. We've got more talk about women in DC. We're going to be talking to a woman named Dana Brooks. And again, she kind of like Tara has built a career in DC. We're going to talk about what that has meant to her and how she's gone about that. So stick with us here. And also I want to remind you again, we don't just have the Grow events that I was talking about. We have an event called I Am Farm Her, which is an event for all ages of women. It's a multi-day event and it is going to be going on June 17th through the 19th right here in Central Iowa. Again, on our website, farmher.com. Click the events tab. You can see everything that we have going on. We'd love to see you. Stick with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Shining Bright. In continuing with our theme today of awesome, strong women who have built careers for themselves in agriculture and specifically in Washington, D.C., we are talking with Dana Brooks. Dana, welcome.
Thank you, Margie.
Yes. Yes. So, Dana, I'm just going to introduce how I've known you for the past few years. So a number of years ago, gosh, let's see, this is year six for From Her. It's probably like three or four years ago now. I was in D.C. for National Ag Day, and Krista Harden was the deputy secretary at the time and had organized a display of Farm Her photos at during National Ag Day. And I went to the dinner with a friend of mine, Laura Phelps, and she was like, you just have to meet this lady. Her name is Dana. And so we met then, and we haven't let the conversation go since then.
Absolutely. Well, isn't Laura a treat? And she said the same about you to me. You have to meet Margie.
I just love her. Isn't it great to have people who like connect and want to help and, you know, just make things better? I absolutely love that.
Same. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, let's see, Dana, let's start with, what your background in agriculture looks like. Did you grow up on a farm?
I did, in Southeast Arkansas. And my hometown is Portland, Arkansas, which I think the population now is slightly over 400 people. But I grew up, my father working in a cotton gin, and we always had some type of, as you would refer to it today, a side hustle, which meant, you know, hay fields, custom cutting, hauling, baling hay, a little cotton farm on the side. And then later, my parents managed my grandparents' catfish farm. And that was the last farming experience in with my family.
Yeah. It's always interesting to me to hear the different types of agriculture, you know, in different parts of the country, whether it be a catfish farm, you know, in Arkansas, because, you know, we mostly just have corn and beans here in Iowa. So it's one of my favorite yes. things to hear about. Okay, so you grew up in and around agriculture. Where did you go from there? What was your path to Washington, D.C.?
You know, it's a bit crazy path, and I pinch myself every day that I even am here. But, you know, right out of college, I was one of those kids. I just didn't know what I wanted to do. And some would say I may still struggle with that. But I decided I went to work at a grain elevator when I was 18 years old. Ooh. And I worked at a grain elevator for a couple of years. I worked through a few harvest seasons and decided that college looked like a great opportunity and experience. So a little bit later in my, it's still in my young life, I went to University of Arkansas Monticello and Arkansas State University, and I ended up completing my degree in agriculture at University of Arkansas Monticello. And but you know, it was just kind of a windy path for me. But all I see now, looking back, how it all brought me here. But you know, I had there were people in my life that encouraged me to move forward to go to school or, you know, look at the gaps in my resume and pushed me to get to this point. But, you know, I say this so when I speak to other young people, young women, it's okay when you graduate high school if you don't exactly know. I can assure you, you will figure out what you don't like mm-hmm. maybe before you figure out what you want to do. But I completed my degree in agriculture, and then later, at nearly 40 years old, I realized there was a gap in my resume. So I went back to a distant learning program at Kansas State and received my master's in agribusiness. But I think that, you know, I worked in a grain industry, mostly in Arkansas, but a tipping point in my life was in 1996 when my father was killed in a farm accident on our catfish farm in Arkansas. And that threw me for a bit of a loop. He was 48, basically my age now. Yeah. And my family, quite frankly, just hasn't recovered from that loss. But
you know, I struggle with, am I in the right place? What should I be doing? A lot of thought and prayers went into the next step. I thought I was at my dream job. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I just felt this calling, this urge to do more. I knew I didn't feel comfortable farming. I have to say, I'm a financially risk-averse person, and I had watched struggles of so many farmers, but I wanted to represent them, and through that, an opportunity just fell into my lap from my major professor calling me to say that a member of Congress, that's a farmer from Arkansas, was looking to hire an ag legislative assistant. Now, Margie, I had never been to Washington, D.C., even in, you know, the eighth grade school trip.
Right.
But I knew with every ounce of my being, that was my job. That was what I was supposed to do. And so packed a few suitcases, slept on a friend's couch, moved to Washington, D.C., and started working on farm policy. I didn't know much about, you know, the legislative process, but I learned very quickly to make friends with phenomenal staffers that helped me understand how to navigate Capitol Hill, but I told them what it was all about to really work on a farm, from riding a 5-gallon bucket in a bob truck with hauling beans to riding a seine line on a catfish farm. And that, you know, bringing that real life experience to Washington, D.C., first it was really humbling to be here. But I truly had a passion for what I was doing. I think people saw that and invested in me and mentored me. And, you know, I bopped around from Capitol Hill to American Farm Bureau to National Milk Producers, Land O'Lakes, and now sitting here as president and CEO of the Pet Food Institute. So it's kind of a crazy ride. Wasn't easy. There were some bumps and bruises along the way. But I couldn't be prouder of where I sit today.
Well, it makes me extremely proud to listen to you talk about it too, because I think that we talked about that with our earlier guest, Tara, as well, that, you know, that is just par for the course. And as you know, Dana, you came to one of our, I think maybe our first grow event, actually. We talk about that mm-hmm. a lot with the young women in attendance, that, you know, you want a plan right away, but that plan almost never actually happens that way. And, you know, you keep digging at it and looking at yourself and saying, what do I want to do here? And keep pushing at it. And then all of a sudden you find yourself sitting in the role of a president. And that doesn't come without a lot of hard work and a lot of hustling to get there, I know. But very cool, Dana. So thank you for sharing that. We are going to head to break here in just a minute, and we'll be back here with Dana shortly. But I want to remind all of you that you can join our Farm Her Journey today. First off, you can watch the TV show Fridays and Sundays at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on RFD TV. And we are right now just starting out new episodes for the second half of season 3. And we've got 13 new episodes that'll be airing throughout March, April, May. Really cool things. You're going to go with us to a crawfish farm in Louisiana. You're going to bounce around the country and see all different kinds of operations and meet the cool women who are part of those. So tune in to RFD TV Fridays and Sundays at 9:30 Eastern. And you can visit us at farmher.com to read more of those stories, learn about our events, check out the blogs, and of course, the merchandise that's there too. And when you're there, be sure to sign up for our mailing list to stay in the know about all things Farm Her. Stick with us. We'll be right back on Shining Bright. Welcome back to Shining Bright. We have been talking with Dana Brooks, who is the president of the Pet Food Institute. And Dana, before we jump into the next questions I have, can you tell us what the Pet Food Institute is and what they do?
Oh, I would love to, Margie. I honestly have the best job in Washington, D.C., maybe in the entire United States, but I'm honored and blessed to be president and CEO of Pet Food Institute. It's a trade industry trade association in Washington, D.C. PFIA represents 26 member companies that collectively make about 98% of pet food and treats in the United States.
Wow.
Those companies, I know, manufacture in 31 states, but this is, did you know, this is really cool, and I didn't know this till I came to work here, but 2 out of 3 households in the United States have pets.
Yeah.
You know how many bowls that fills?
No, I have no idea.
180 million bowls at least. So it's very exciting. It's hard to find a family that doesn't have a pet now. Yeah. And Americans spend about $29 billion on pet food and treats. That was in 2017. So that number just continues to grow.
Yeah, yeah. Pets have become such, I mean, you know, I go to farms all the time, and there's always been, and there always will be, the farm dogs and the farm cats, right? But I feel like, especially as our culture has changed and moves from rural to urban, I feel like pets have become an even more important, like, daily part of our life. Yeah, our dog is usually sitting right here watching me talk on this radio show, in fact. So that's pretty cool.
I think I've heard your dog bark before.
You have. She doesn't know when to be quiet, so that's okay. But I love that. That's pretty cool. And I actually didn't know that 98% of the pet food industry is represented by you guys. That's really cool. So and that's something that does touch us, most of us, 2/3 of the households every day. So very cool.
Absolutely.
So you found your way to DC, and you've worked in many different ag and food organizations, obviously. What is it about DC that has kept you there? You know, I mean, it is every time I visit there, I always think this is a really interesting place, and I see some really engaged people, and I'd love to know, you know, it's a fast-paced environment for sure, and there's always a lot going on. So what is it about that that draws you to it and keeps you there?
Well, that's a good question. It is a hard city, too. But it's the passion that people have in this town for a lot of what they represent. And for me, when I came to Washington, D.C., within my first few months here, I remember calling my mom and saying, I have girlfriends here. There are girls here just like me that, you know, came from a farm and representing agriculture policy, you know, such a policy nerd. And the friends of my life I met from the time I walked into D.C., in July of 2000. So I can't even explain those friendships. It's family here for us. Many of the girlfriends that I have, again, we probably came from rural communities where we had a sense of family. And when you first arrive in D.C., you realize that's hard to find. But a few women invested in some of the newbies in 2000, which was only about a dozen of us, working in ag policy. And today, it's just incredible to see how many women have thrived in agriculture in Washington, D.C. And I don't know if all of their story is the same, if their stories are the same as mine. But again, I had a passion for agriculture, and I wanted to do something to support the industry. But I didn't feel comfortable farming from, you know, physical, economic, mental. And so I felt like I could come here and do something to help farmers, to help rural communities, to represent the industry in a different way. And while I may not be large in stature, I have a very loud voice, and I'm not afraid to use it. And this is the best place in the world for that. So my mom said, I found the perfect job for me, being here and being the voice. So I have to think that maybe the same for other women here. And we really stick together. I mean, in 1994, I volunteered on my very first campaign. At the time, it was a lady by the name of Blanche Lincoln. Mm-hmm. She is now former Senator Blanche Lincoln. She's Blanche Lambert at the time, but Blanche Lincoln now. And watching her represent agriculture and just have this unbelievable amount of energy. When I met her, I was like, wow, there's someone that I aspire to be and can motivate me and encourage me to follow my dream, which was the same, representing agriculture.
Yeah.
So that moved me here to Washington. That was part of the, I guess, part of the grander plan to move me here in Washington, D.C. But then working for women like Mary Kay Thatcher, who's been on your show, Strong Woman in Agriculture, because she's one of those that kind of broke the ground for more women
yes.
to be involved. Laura Phelps, you know, again, one of your friends, one of those energetic leaders. And I just want to sit by her in a room because she just radiates energy and enthusiasm and passion for mushrooms, you
she
know,
does.
Among other things.
It is really exciting to learn about mushrooms.
And then Krista Harden, I mean, be a woman and be the first woman to have her role in the Department of Agriculture and to have known her, and then moving on through life through different roles. I have had the opportunity to work with Beth Ford, who's now the CEO of Land O'Lakes. And it's just, I think we really stick together. We work hard. We find our passion, and we're not afraid. We're not the least bit shy about showing it. So, and you know, I think you know about the WAGGIES, the Women in Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
So in 2007, I left D.C. briefly, and when I came back in 2009, I was like, you know, I had some women that were mentors to me, and I thought, we need to start reconnecting, and of course, the best way for women to connect is maybe a glass of wine at happy hour.
Yeah.
And it grew from that to being, how can we, you know, we included more women. There were more young women wanting to come to Washington, D.C., or women looking for mentors. There were young ladies that, you know, when I had to meet them, I said, look, if you need to know where to buy a hammer, where to go to church, where do you, you know, metro stops, like, you know, nothing's off the table with this crew. You
yeah.
can ask anything. And
that
list went from about a dozen to when I passed it on to the next generation of WAGGY managers. I think I had 450 names in a spreadsheet.
That is amazing. Dana, thank you so much for sharing about your experience in D.C. I love the WAGGIES group, and thanks for being here on Shining Bright today.
Thank you.
We'll be right back here on Shining Bright. Stick with us. Wrapping up this episode of Shining Bright. So just to recap what you heard, the power of connecting, and these women in DC know how to do this, and they do it amazingly. You know, just outside looking in, this WAGGIES group that Dana was instrumental in starting and bringing women together, like she said, 12 people, it's grown to over 400. And I myself have had the opportunity to connect with many women in DC. And I just have to tell you, like, it's one of those things that you just never know who you're going to meet. But, you know, take the time to get to know people wherever you are. And networking is such a scary word. But, you know, taking that time and giving yourself a little bit of grace and figuring out how you can do that and connect with people, it really is a great thing. And not just professionally, but personally, too, because I think, you know, having those groups of people, and specifically groups of women around us, that, as you heard Dana say, you know, it goes from professional to like friends to like family many times. And so opening yourself up to those opportunities is a pretty cool thing. And if you are a woman who is in the DC area, whatever your age, whatever your connection to agriculture, food policy, you need to check out this Waggies group. It is very cool. So if you want more information or you want to be connected to Dana or Tara, you can email us info@farmher.com. So with that, jumping off of the Waggie wagon, and I want to tell you guys about, Tony's rolling his eyes over here at me, the Waggie wagon. I thought it was great. So I want to tell you guys about one of these new episodes of Farm Her on RFD TV that is airing. And it's airing this week that the radio show is on. And it is such a cool episode. So as you know, or you may know, or if not, I'm going to tell you, we find most of the people from the TV show through an online entry form. So people go to our website, farmher.com, and right there up on the main page, it says suggest a Farm Her. You can click on that and it'll take you to form, and you can fill it out about yourself. You can fill it out about your neighbor, your cousin, your best friend, your grandma, your mom, whoever it is that you want to tell us about. You can fill in that information there. And we have thousands of entries from people all over the country and outside of the country. And so when we identify what weeks we're going to film and we drill it down to what states we're going to go to, because we're always trying to go visit new states, we start taking a look at that form and trying to understand who might be there and what types of stories we could tell. And so one that jumped out off of that form for me is Dana Fry, who you will meet on our TV show this week. And Dana raises lots and lots and lots of crawfish with her husband, Jared, and they are in Louisiana. And so it just sounded like something interesting and cool that I'd never seen how they're raised. I mean, I've seen them, like, you know, when like my cousins would like catch them out of a creek here in Iowa or something, but I've never seen them raised in mass before. And so if you are a person that enjoys crawfish or you've ever been to a crawfish boil, I think this will be extra interesting because this is where they all come from. So Dana and her husband, Jared, as I said, Jared started this farm. And when Dana and him were married, he had a health condition that made it so that he couldn't work as closely with the crawfish as he once did. So she kind of took over that part of the operation and has massively grown it. They have thousands of acres of crawfish ponds. They harvest anywhere, you know, from 600 up to 800, 900, or maybe even more bags of crawfish every day out of these ponds. And those bags can weigh 30, 35 pounds. So lots and lots of crawfish are being raised and harvested there. And it was super interesting to me because I learned that down there, they can grow rice as well. So one year, these crawfish ponds might be rice, and then they flood that. They seed it with new crawfish. And by the way, you'll see on this episode, seeding it just means putting the crawfish back into the field. And then they harvest out that rice, and the crawfish then can feed on the stubble. They flood the ponds, and boom, you have yourself a crawfish pond. And it's pretty cool. So they harvest these every day, and they've got a processing facility that they put to built right there on site. And they've got, you know, tons of employees that it takes to pull all this off. And we saw them going through the sizing machine and into the boiler and into the room where they actually get processed and pulled apart. And then probably the best part of the day for me was the crawfish boil at the end of the day. They cooked up all this crawfish and it was so good. And our crew and Dana and Jared and their family and friends had a really good time kicking back and enjoying that very, very, very farm fresh crawfish. So tune in to Farm Her on RFD TV Fridays and Sundays at 9:30 p.m. Eastern. And I want to thank you again for joining us here on Shining Bright. You can see everything that we're doing over at farmher.com. You've been listening to Shining Bright by Farm Her. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern and Saturday at noon Eastern on SiriusXM's Rural Radio Channel 147 and the SiriusXM app. And now, go shine bright. Hi, this is Margie Geiler-Alanese. Next week on Shining Bright, we're talking to a few women who are paving the way. Peg Armstrong Gustafson was Iowa's first female state FFA president and the first female national officer candidate for FFA. Then we'll hear from Jennifer Houston, the president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, on Shining Bright by Farm Her, Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern and Saturday at noon Eastern, on Rural Radio 147 and the SiriusXM app.